Hi, and welcome to the Poultry Nerds Podcast. I'm Carrie Blackman, and I'm here with my co-host for the show, Jennifer Bryant, and we're here to help you figure out how to raise the healthiest, happiest, and highest quality birds possible.
Hey everyone, this is Aaron with Gitro's Family Farm. We're a small homestead farm based out of South Louisiana, and we raise quail and chickens. Thanks for having me today. Hope you guys enjoy.
Yeah, that's how I am. Like, so for QuailCon, my big thing is I like to help like small people, homesteaders that are raising quail on making a profit or like, okay, so I'm going to tell y'all, my title for QuailCon for my speech is Homesteading with Quail, Breaking Even and Beyond. So it's basically just to try to help the small homesteader with a few birds that wants to pay for their feed and have their own meat and stuff like that. And that's where I started. It was just as a homesteader. My wife and I were 18, 19 years old, got married, and neither one of us came from a farming background. We're like, we don't like what's going on with the meat in the store, and let's start raising our own stuff. And here we are. Everybody thought we were crazy, but here we are. And then our goal when we first started our business was, if we could pay for all the feed and then provide meat for us, we were doing great. Mm-hmm. And then it started, well, let's build this barn. Let's build this and let's have the birds pay for it. And now I got dump trucks dumping dirt in my yard right now to build another building. The bird paid for it, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Let's talk Bob White today, because I get a lot of questions about Bob Whites, and I don't really know anything about them other than what I've heard. So do you have a lot of Bob White?
I have a few Bob Whites. I kind of transitioned over from Bob Whites to more Paternics because of the meat. I still enjoy Bob Whites. Bob Whites are a beautiful bird. Their song is unmatched. Mm. Actually, I have a video on YouTube I done maybe 2 years ago on for meat, Bob Whites versus Paternics. And Paternics beat them hands down, but they're still a valuable bird. They're still fun to shoot. I still like the Bob White hunt. We don't have any Bob Whites native here, even though Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries says we do. I've been hunting and fishing. It's the swamp. So I've been hunting and fishing in the swamp since I was a child, and I've never ran across a wild Bob White. And I raise them. We like to shoot them. We like to eat them. Just a fun bird to have around.
Why don't you explain to us the beginning process, like their life cycle and how long to incubate and how long it takes them to grow and lay and all of that good stuff. So our podcast is more geared towards beginners, like that don't know anything. So talk that way.
Okay. So as far as incubation on Bob Whites, their eggs are going to be slightly smaller than a Coturnix. It'll be like a standard size Coturnix egg. You're going to do the same incubation temperature, 99.5, except for it's a 23-day incubation period. On day 20, you can lock them down. I dry hatch. So I add no humidity. It stays around 15 to 20% with adding no humidity. And then on day 20, after day 20, I add 75% humidity, same temperature, 99.5 degrees. And I find with Bob Whites and like pheasants and stuff, more of wild game birds, I'll let them go longer than I would a Coturnix egg hatching. Sometimes I'll let them go to that 24, 25 days because you'll have more hatch out. Coturnix, I don't go 24 hours past. Brooding is substantially different with Bob Whites and Coturnix. Just first off, your length. You're going to be brooding Bob Whites for 6 weeks, depending on your climate. As compared to Coturnix, when, you know, Bob Whites, you're pulling them out of the brooder when Coturnix are laying, just about.
Wow.
So I do for Bob Whites in the brooder, we're looking around one bird per half a square foot. So two birds per square foot for the brooding for the first 3 weeks. Then after the first 3 weeks, then I go one bird per square foot. And that helps with aggression because they are more of a wild bird. And it's not like a Turnix where you can select for temperament. They're just a wild bird. And one big tip I'll give anybody that's wanting to get into Mob Whites, they will be aggressive in the brooder. I would definitely, like, if you're starting to see, like, mass aggression, lower your temperature by 3 or 4 degrees, and it'll calm them down. I know it's against everything we know as far as brooding, but that I found that works for me just fine.
I mean, I can understand that, because when I get hot, I get irritated.
I'm a big Southern boy. When I start to get agitated.
Yeah.
When I start the brooding from the incubator, I'll put my brooders at 98 degrees. And I'll be looking to decrease about 5 degrees a week. Now, if you end up with an aggression situation and you just lowered your temperature by 5 degrees, go ahead and lower it 3 or 4 more degrees and keep it at that. And then when it comes to your next week, then you're going to drop it back down another 5. Don't ever go back up.
Mm-hmm.
And they are super busy birds. Jennifer, you raise button quails. What button quail look like in a brooder? Mm-hmm. Bob whites are the same thing, except for bigger. Wow. And at about 2 weeks old, these suckers could fly. Like,
really?
Yeah, they're not a glorified flight. Like, you don't want to have a topless brooder. These things are so fast. They're really amazing birds.
That's wire?
I have wire bottom brooders.
Okay.
And wire top brooders.
All right. And they're the same feed, 30% protein feed?
Yeah. So I use Game Bird starter. That's the 28-30% for the first 12 weeks. Then after that, I'll go down to like a 24-26%. Because Bob White's, my personal opinion from my experiences, because I really never had anyone sit down and explain to me, hey, this is how you take care of a Bob White. I've done online reading, but that could go in multiple different directions. The information you could find out there. I found that if you try to keep them on a higher protein, when they are starting to lay, you end up with a lot more egg-bound hens. You have a lot more prolapses, and Bob White's typically have a short laying season. So if you lose a hen, or you got an egg-bound hen that she's not going to lay for a while and you don't want her to lay for a while, so you want to try to eliminate as many possible problems you can, you know, that you could control, because they have their own problems on their own.
Okay, so let's go back to the brooding. So you've got them under heat for 6 weeks. You've got them on high protein. So at 6 weeks, where do you put them?
At 6 weeks, I'll go to a mid-level. I do things a little differently, because I do everything outdoors unheated, because I live in South Louisiana. We're 85 degrees today.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice and warm. I call it a mid-level grow out cage. It's no egg roll outs. I use the same one as my Bob Whites and my Coturnix, and I'll keep them in there. Bob Whites will live in a colony when it's not breeding season. That's when they'll start with the aggression. Hens will kill hens. You want to pair them up when it comes to laying season. One to one.
Interesting. So buttons.
Unless you have a bigger aviary where you can have one bird for every 4 to 5 square feet with several hides and things to do like that, then you can have multiple. But they are super aggressive in mating season. After that, like in the wild, Bob Whites will, like in the wintertime, they'll come together and form their covey, and they live together for wintertime. And in the spring, when laying season comes, they'll start to spread out and pair off.
Okay, so how old are they when they start to lay?
They'll start to lay around the 14 to 16 week, but it's seasonal. So like right now, what I'm doing right now is I'm preparing for next spring. I use a shortened version of the Bob White season. So the birds I'm going to hatch out now are going to be for next spring breeders. They'll start laying for me. They'll start laying here in the February, beginning of March, and they'll lay through May and start tapering off like the second or third week of May. And usually by middle of June, they're done laying.
So how big do they get?
So for a mature Bob White, it'll vary anywhere between 5 to 7 ounces for a mature Bob White.
Okay, so you've got a small egg, a small bird, a short laying season. They take up more space. They're aggressive. What's the pro to keeping these birds?
The whistle.
I enjoy listening to their noises, their sounds they make. I wouldn't recommend someone just starting out for Bob Whites.
Right.
And I'll get people they'll call me up and I want to get started with quail. I want Bob Whites. I'm like, how about you try this instead? Because I have some of my catarnics that I could put them in my pocket and just walk around and they'll just stay in my pocket and just look around. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it with a Bob White.
So do you have them in cages or we hear people talk about putting them in flight pens. You got to teach them to fly, that kind of stuff.
Yes, flight pens are recommended. I do keep some in cages. Mm-hmm. The cages are like 14 inches tall. You have to be very quick to grab the eggs. I don't trust egg rots with Bob Whites. And because when they fly, most of the time they're not coming back. You lose them. Catarnics, I find catarnics, sometimes I'll get some out. They come out because I'm clumsy a lot of the times and I'll forget to close the door to the cage. But they just stick around.
Yeah, Bob they get on and they're like, what do we do now?
Yeah, they want to get out so bad. They get on the ground and they're just like, hey, let me back in with my friends.
Yeah. Okay. So do Bob White eggs taste better? Are they worth more?
If you're going to sell them to customers, they're worth more. The average price for a Bob White hatching egg is around $2 a piece here locally, which Catarnics eggs, depending who you ask, anywhere between 50 cents and a dollar for Catarnics egg. Around here where I live at in South Louisiana. But Bob Whites are around $2. And adult birds, Catarnics, adult hens here will sell for $6 to $7. Bob Whites will sell for $9 to $10 a piece. So you can make more money. It's just going to take you a longer time.
You have more money invested in them in seed.
Yeah.
Even in space. Huh, interesting.
Lifespan, I'm going to say recycle Bob Whites. So I don't really keep anything over a year. So like the birds this year are going to replace the bird from last year and so on and so forth. So I don't really keep them, but they'll lay consistently for 3 to 4 years.
So your order of operations would be to harvest your layers when they quit laying, say June 1st.
Yes.
All of those eggs and basically start again.
Yes.
Interesting.
I don't really sell Bob Whites much anymore. Years ago I did. And then I had Tennessee Reds and they're very aggressive.
Tennessee Reds, are they like a variety of Bob White or something totally different?
The color mutation of the Northern Bob White.
Okay. So everything to raise them is the same.
Yes. Like when they came and like for the biosecurity stuff, I was like, I do this rather than this, which I am totally biosecure. I don't bring anything here from the outside. I don't allow visitors. And on occasion when I do have a friend, which I don't probably, that's more friends than I have. When they do come over, everything's sanitized. I have too much money invested and that's my birds. At the end of the day, if I don't sell anything, I'm still keeping my birds because they're my birds. So I don't want anything to happen to them because they're my pets, my turkeys are my babies. My emus are my babies.
Chickens, they can go, right?
My wife has silkies and she loves silkies. I don't know. I could tell you a good part about the silkies. So like usually our first few rounds of turkey eggs, we'll incubate them. That way we have some to sell because we sell chicks locally. But like after that, when I'm tired of incubating them, I give the eggs to the silkies and the silkies hatch them out and they raise these suckers out. And then come November, I go in there and I collect my turkeys. And I really didn't have to do anything. The silky hatched them out. The silky brooded them. The silky did everything with them. And I have dinner.
Yep. So the Bob Whites are more just a variety for you to have variety in the freezer as far as you're concerned?
For me, it's more of the experience of it, the sound. I'll just stop and sit. If I'm feeling a certain spot, I'll just stop and sit and enjoy a few minutes of peace. Mm-hmm. And the Bob Whites add that extra sound. It's also sporting the shoot. Have got a couple of dogs, working them in some bushes, and have a little fun like that. And then we eat them. We don't waste them, of course. I just live by myself.
So what is the theory behind the legality of the permit? Why are they trying to govern the Bob Whites?
I'm not sure. And I know there's special buyback programs, like in more than the northern part of the state, they'll buy Bob Whites to release back into the wild because the population is going down substantially. Yeah. Bob White in the wild averages about a year of lifespan. Same thing like the turnips, they are at the bottom of the food chain. They don't prey on anything aside from a few insects and seeds on the ground. Everything preys on them. Everything bigger than them is Bob White's food. So their lifespan in the wild is not well. Poor guy. And I think they're a beautiful bird. I think we should have more, but I don't know if it's more of a government thing, wanted to keep tabs on what everybody has. I'm not one of those tinfoil hat wearing people, but
I am.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend starting with Bob Whites just for the simple fact of it's a little bit more difficult to care for. You have a lot more money invested to realize that this is not working out for me. My whole thing is I'm a homesteader. That's where my roots lie, is being a homesteader. So everything is cutting costs. And what's the most cost-effective way to do this? What's the most cost-effective way to experiment and try this without costing a ton of money? Because the people that have endless supply of money are not worried about raising a quail. Most people, I'm going to generalize here, most people are raising quail to cut costs at home and separate themselves from the grocery store. And Bob Weiss is just not the answer for that. All you Bob White breeders listening to this, you know exactly what I'm saying. And unless if you have 10,000 Bob Whites and you are selling chicks and selling eggs like crazy, you're not worried about the cost because you're making double the profit as a Coternix.
Mm-hmm.
You're raising this and you're a homesteader and you think you're going to have a good meat source. You're better off raising a chicken, as much as that hurts me to say. It's going to grow out the same amount as a white American breast.
Yeah, if you're talking about a 7-ounce live weight bird, you're only talking about 3 ounces of meat, maybe.
Yeah.
We just took my grandson to Sonic and he ate a bigger hamburger than 3 ounces.
Yeah.
So, no.
When you look at a Coternix, when you look at the, like on a butchered bird, I should have rewatched my video. I can't watch myself on YouTube. But if you look at like the skin birds side by side, the legs are big on a Coternix. The breasts are bigger on a Coternix. You could stick a Bob White inside of a Coternix.
Oh, wow.
That'd be like a turducken, but with Bob White inside a Coternix.
Do you raise any other game birds, just out of curiosity?
I raised ringneck pheasants and I stopped about a year ago. Because I wanted to make a quail aviary. So their enclosure is now a quail aviary.
Okay. Did you eat those?
Yes.
What do they taste like?
Like the Bob Whites and the pheasants and even Coternix taste the same. It's a dark meat. It don't take long to cook. Don't get crazy on your temperature when you're cooking those guys. It's red, a little bit more reddish. Like when I scan most of my stuff. If I'm doing it here, I'm scanning it because time is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember the weight on the pheasants. Pheasants were just a hair over a pound. I would say around the 18 to 20 ounce range.
Do they lay year round?
No, they also seasonal layers in the spring.
Great. And how big are their eggs?
Like a silky, somewhere in the say in the 30 to 40 gram range.
So they're more an ornamental bird, kind of akin to maybe a peacock?
Yeah.
Okay.
About as useful as a peacock. I love quail.
What kind of turkeys do you have?
Standard bronze. I had some Bourbon Reds and wasn't in love with them. So ended up with settled on standard bronze a few years ago, and they grow big enough for me to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Really don't cause me problems. They don't eat a whole bunch of food. They live in with the Silky Bachelors right now. Because
mm-hmm.
I needed a place for Silky Bachelors. So I was like, they can't beat up a turkey. So they're living together.
You would think the turkey would stomp on the Silkies.
No, when I feed, the Silkies eat first and then the turkeys go eat.
Interesting. Anything else you want to say about Bob Weitz? And then I want to talk about Kaepernick's for a minute.
Okay. I'm done with Bob Weitz.
Okay, good. So what are you not happy about with the Browns?
I think they should be bigger. And I haven't really put as much focus in the Browns as I do with my Egyptians and my Whites.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been fooling with my Celadons a lot lately. So just let them go. And it's getting close to time to replace them. I have some that I'm satisfied with, but it's only like 30. So on my website, I pulled out for like mass, the larger quantities, because my breeders, the big breeder cage I have, I don't sell those eggs as hatching eggs.
So how big are your birds?
They are staying more around the 13 ounce, like 12 to 13 ounce range. So they're a little smaller. And they were bigger.
How big are your eggs?
My eggs are around 15 to 17 grams.
Thank you for joining us this week. Before you go, be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they are released. And they're released every week. Feel free to email us at poultrynerds@gmail.com to share your thoughts about the show. Until next time, poultry pals, keep clucking, keep learning, and keep it exciting. This is Carrie signing off from Poultry Nerds. Feathers up, everyone.